Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled, How Do You Count Your Blessings? We're going to be looking at the blessings that we as members of the Church of the Body of Christ receive as a result of our salvation, at where those blessings are, at how we receive them, and at exactly what those blessings are. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 will be our starting point each week for this series of studies. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and find the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And as you're doing that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive if you have a question or comment about what you see on the program today. Or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the DVDs or CDs of this entire month series of studies. If you just write to us and request them, we'll be glad to send them out to you without any cost or obligation. And as I said, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you that contact information here for Grace Alive. Right now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, we read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. As I said, this will be the starting point for our series of studies today, this month, as a matter of fact, looking at the blessings of the church, the body of Christ. You know, there's an old hymn that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And if we're going to do that, and that's certainly good advice, count your many blessings, name them one by one, but in order to do that, we need to understand those blessings, understand where those blessings are located, exactly what those blessings are, and how we receive those blessings. If you watch Grace Alive on a regular basis, you know that last month, our topic was the blessings of the Beatitudes. And we saw that the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are the poor in spirit, and that list of blessings there are blessings in the context of the establishment of the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. And they fit in the context of the nation Israel ruling and reigning in that kingdom with Christ. This month, we want to look at blessings that are not a part of Israel's program and a part of that earthly kingdom, but blessings that are given to us as members of the church, the body of Christ. And you'll note in that verse, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Note that we're told there that our blessings are in heavenly places, and we will talk about the significance of that in coming weeks. But today we want to just talk a little bit about what it means to be blessed. The verse there says, first starts off by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word bless or blessing simply means to bestow favor upon, to speak well of someone and bestow favor upon them. When God blesses someone or something, He bestows favor upon that person or that thing. Now, the only person that is worthy of being blessed because they deserve it, because they have in and of themselves a character that would make them deserving of blessing, deserving of having something good bestowed upon them, is God. And you'll notice in the verse that Paul starts off by saying in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begins by speaking well of God, by bestowing favor, His favor upon God. Later on in the verse, he talks about God blessing us. But he begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's quite common in Paul's epistles for him to do that. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Again, we read Paul saying this, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Again, Paul is there speaking well of and conferring his favor upon, his approval of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, let's look at verse 4. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 4, we read this. who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Jesus Christ is blessed by God forever. He's deserving of that blessing. So, as we start off today, we need to just understand that there is one person, one being in all the universe that is worthy of being blessed, that is worthy of having favor bestowed upon them, that is worthy of people speaking well of them. And that one person that is worthy of blessing, that's worthy of people speaking well of them, is God, the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Once we get outside of God deserving favor and deserving to be blessed, then we're looking at beings that are blessed by God. Beings that don't deserve blessing, but God confers blessing upon them anyhow. And in that realm, we're going to look at two different kinds of blessing. We want to look at blessing today in two different areas. And one of them we'll look at today and not deal with it anymore in the series. And then the other is what we'll be dealing with for the remainder of the series. One blessing is, we're going to call it a natural blessing. And a natural blessing is just that. It comes by virtue of the fact that you are a part of God's natural creation. It is, as I just said, a blessing of creation. Let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and look at an example of this kind of a blessing. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, in that passage of Scripture, God is talking about, of course, the creation of man, but also he's talking about all the things that he has put on the earth to bless man. He has made an animal creation. He's made a plant creation. He's made water. Everything that's on the earth is put here to function so as to sustain human life. Well, that's a part of God's creation. It's a part of nature. Those are natural, creative blessings. The fact that there's oxygen in the atmosphere for you to breathe. The fact that there are plants that you can eat for food. That there are animals that you can eat for food. The fact that there's water on this planet. You know, when scientists try to decide, well, could there be life on another planet? The one thing they always look for on that planet is water, because in their current understanding of things, water is absolutely essential to life. So think what a blessing it is that God, as part of his creation here in Genesis, said, "I'm going to make water on planet Earth." Verse number 9 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. He took that water and he brought dry land out of it. So you got to have the dry land to live on, but you got to have that water, or you can't sustain human life. You've got to have food. You've got to have all the things that will sustain us. All of those things are put here by God. All of those things are here as a part of God's creative work. All of those things are here as a part of His natural creation. The fact that the sun warms the earth, He put the sun there. The fact that the earth is tilted on its axis to give us the seasons of the year, that's because God did it that way. The fact that there's the proper amount of water, the proper amount of heat, the proper amount of light, the proper amount of everything is because God created it that way. Now that, those blessings that come as a result of creation come upon all people, saved and lost. Turn with me, if you will, for a moment to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 14. So this is one category of blessing that we're looking at today that is a blessing that comes simply by virtue of the fact that we are a part of God's creation. And if you're born into this, onto this earth, and if you're born into God's creation, then you are a beneficiary of this blessing. It doesn't really matter, it doesn't matter at all if you're saved, if you're lost. It doesn't matter at all if you acknowledge God, if you don't acknowledge God. You still benefit from the creation, from the natural blessings that are in creation. For example, notice Ecclesiastes verse 8, or chapter 8 rather, and verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said also, this is vanity. In other words, he says, sometimes there's good men that bad things happen to. Sometimes there's bad men that good things happen to. God provides equally for the needs of the just and the unjust. And sometimes the blessings of nature, sometimes those blessings are abundant, sometimes they're not. But it's got nothing to do with God singling out an individual for blessing. It's just a part of His natural creation. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 45. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 45. We read this. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Notice, He maketh His sun to shine on the evil and the good. That sun that God created as a part of His natural creation shines on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So we see there that there is a natural blessing, a blessing that comes as a part of God's creation that comes on the just and the unjust. It comes on those that are saved and those that are lost. It comes on those that believe in God and those that reject Him. It comes on those that have put their faith in Christ and those that have not. So that's one kind of blessing from God. And when we think about blessing, that's usually what we think of. We're usually thinking of the things that we can see. But you know, there are totally unrighteous, vile people in this world that have much in the way of physical things, much of what God has provided in creation. On the other hand, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, there are good, righteous people that don't have much of this natural creation's goods. Well, why is that? Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and the sun falls on the just and the unjust, and God has set His creation in motion. He's put those things in creation that we need to sustain ourselves. But He is not, in the everyday course of things, deciding who should get and who should not get the blessings of that natural creation. They are blessings that are there simply as a result of the fact that you are a part of His creation. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Now, why would you be every creature of God? Why would you be thankful for that creature that you're eating, that Thanksgiving turkey or that steak that you sit down to eat? Is it because God supernaturally dropped it down onto your plate? You say, well, thank you. I wouldn't have had this meat if you hadn't dropped it on my plate. Well, no, we know that God's system, God's plan is that man will work by the sweat of his brow. The curse that God put on the earth, man will work by the sweat of his brow to provide that food. Well, why then should you be thankful for it if you had to work to get it? Well, you know, it's still a part of God's creation. You couldn't have sat down and had that turkey dinner if God hadn't created turkeys. You couldn't sit down and have that steak if God hadn't created cows. So you owe a debt to God, whether you realize it or not, whether people acknowledge it or not. Everything that we have that we go out and get with the labor of our hands is here because God put it here. It's a natural blessing, part of His creation. And then there's a second category of blessing. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. And that kind of a blessing, and you know, it shouldn't surprise us. There is a supernatural blessing. And the supernatural blessing is supernatural in the sense that it's not just in the normal course of nature that it happens. That God is going to step outside of the normal course of nature, step outside of what ordinarily would happen in His creation, and provide a blessing. Bestow some special favor upon some individual, upon some group. In that case, it is a supernatural blessing. Notice Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this blessing that God promises to give here to the descendants of Abraham, of course here his name is Abram. Later on, his name is going to get changed to Abraham over in Genesis chapter 17. He becomes the father of the nation Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons become the heads of the 12 tribes. And God says, I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee I will bless all the families of the earth. You see, that's something over and above and beyond what would have happened just in the course of nature, in the course of God's natural creation. In the course of God's natural creation, Abraham would not have become a great nation. Abraham, in fact, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 5, and let's just look for a moment at some of the blessings that God brought upon that group of people. Isaiah chapter 5, and in Isaiah 5, notice with me if you will, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, what is this vineyard all about? Well, if you look down to verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. The vineyard is that house of Israel. It's that nation that he began to build back there with Abraham. And if you notice what he did, he planted it in a very fruitful hill. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He said to Abraham, I'm going to give you some land. Verse 2, he fenced it. He built a middle wall of partition around it. He gathered out the stones thereof, drove out the Gentiles. He planted it with the choicest vine. He blessed physically the physical reproduction of that nation. He built a tower in the midst of it. That's the leadership of the nation to guard and defend it and look out for enemies. He made a wine press therein. That's the law that was to crush the grapes, crush out the self-righteous of Israel and produce righteousness. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. It didn't yield the fruit that he desired. It didn't yield that fruit of righteousness that he sought. But what we know is that he intervened. One way to think of supernatural blessing is when God intervenes on the stage of human history and does something that changes that history. He intervened in the life of Abram, said, I want you to get out of here, get to a land that I'll show you. He changed his name to Abraham, and he made them the father of a great nation. And he said, I'm going to take that nation and use it to bless other nations, and I will bless those nations based on how they treat you. I will confer favor upon them, speak well of them, give them blessing based on how they deal with you. Blessing that is outside of just what would have happened naturally, but is supernatural in nature. We're going to see as we go along in this study that sometimes God can use the things that are in nature to bring that supernatural blessing, but it happens in a way that is outside the regular course of nature. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. There's a second group of people that receive that kind of supernatural blessing. So supernatural blessing comes basically upon two groups of people. We have seen that it comes upon the descendants of Abraham, the nation Israel. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the... Our blessing now is not because we're part of the nation Israel. We'll look at this in more detail as we go on. Our blessing now is because we are in Christ. And that is the body of Christ. Those who are in Christ form the body of Christ. And this group of people, Paul says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's made us accepted in the beloved. He speaks well of us. He confers favor upon us because we're in Christ, in the beloved one. And in so being in Christ, we become his beloved. And outside of the natural course of things, outside of just what's there in creation for us to use and enjoy, we are blessed over and above that. And we'll look, as we continue through these studies, at exactly how we're blessed. It's very interesting to compare how God blessed the nation Israel supernaturally and how he blesses the church, the body of Christ, supernaturally. Both of those groups of people, the nation Israel and in the Old Testament, the church, the body of Christ in Paul's epistles, are blessed in a supernatural way. That is, God intervenes on the stage of human history to provide blessing. He intervened in the life of Abraham to create a nation and provide blessing to that nation. He intervened in the life of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus to save him, change his name to Paul, just as he changed Abram to Abraham. Saul becomes Paul, and to dispense blessing to another group of people, to the church, the body of Christ. And in this study, We're not going to talk a lot more about these natural blessings. Those are sort of self-evident. You can see them all around you. But we're going to talk about the blessings that he's given to Israel and the blessings to the body of Christ and how those blessings, although they're all supernatural, differ. How we can find those blessings, what those blessings are, where we look for those blessings. Because if you're going to do, as the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, then you need to know exactly where to find those blessings, how to identify them and count them. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about what you heard today or what you've heard in some other program. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, and this is a new web address for you, it's www.gracealive.org. Our address in the past was gracealive.us, and that will still work, but our new address and a new website that we're in the process of building is www.gracealive.org. Our toll-free phone number remains the same, 877-53-GRACE. That's 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. As I said, first of all, if you have questions or comments about what you've heard, we'd love to hear from you with those questions or those comments. Secondly, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, it won't be just today's study, it will be the entire four-week series on how do you count your blessings, just write and request them. We have audio, video cassette tapes, also DVDs and CDs. So when you write and request them or email us and request them, however you choose to do it, be sure to specify the format you want. And now until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.